have the worship team back, isn't it? I'm going to honor them. We're glad they're here. There is one announcement I want to make is we are not doing men's meeting every week. That was the original plan, but then we started looking at the calendar, and we went from vacation week to fair week to I'm gone week to, and so we will do another men's meeting July the 8th at my house, and this time we'll let Molly cook, so the food will be good. No, we'll have something. We'll kill something and eat it. Just come on out, okay? July the 8th, yeah, we can catch fish. If it ever quits raining, we'll actually catch them. If not, Larry's got some dynamite. Larry's got different ways he fishes. Sometimes he puts his boat line, sometimes dynamite. He's got this little electric shocker thing. We always get fish anytime we fish, okay? But that'll be July the 8th. Let me see if I can think of this word. It is not akuma matata. It is kuma mata. Kuma mata. It's a psychological term. And here's what it means. You'll remember this one. It means warm fuzzy. Okay? Do you remember, anybody watch Hoosiers? Okay, this is Indiana. Let's say this a different way. If you leave Indiana and you go play basketball with other people, like sand, just like pick up basketball, you go, we're just different. Okay? So in Indiana, you ask it like this. How many times have you seen Hoosiers? Do you remember a movie, I'm just thinking about Hoosiers, where it made you so happy that your eyes leaked? Yeah, you're watching something and all of a sudden you get like warm fuzzies and all the guys got to go to the bathroom just at that one moment. Okay, that emotion is what I'm talking about. In English we call it poignant, and what it means is it touches your emotion. You feel like crying and happy at the same time. You're both happy and want to cry, and you feel good. That kind of moment is in the book of Genesis, the 38th chapter, okay? And we're going to look at it in just a minute. It's a dad moment, okay? It's Father's Day. Let's bless all the dads. At the end, we're gonna bless dads, it is about Genesis 38. It is about a father's blessing, and I never knew about this till maybe my mid 30s. I started studying it. It became really important. I adjusted the way I did some things. I adjusted weddings. Because there's something that happens. It's in Jewish culture, most Eastern cultures. I found it in Africa. I've seen it in Asia. In America, we don't do it much. And it is a father's blessing. It's where a dad brings his kids in front of him, looks at them, puts his hand on them, and speaks over them. Has anybody ever heard of that happening before? I mean, other than you've seen it on TV, you've actually seen it happen or heard about it happening in a family. Look around and see that no other hands are raised, okay? It's like Western culture, we don't do that. In the Bible, it is highly important. And when I started studying it, this was a... I always forget that kuma mata word, so I just remember akuma matata. So if I say an akuma matata moment, you know what I'm talking about. But no, it created one of those moments for me personally, mid-30s, and I go home to my dad, maybe headed toward 40, my dad's 60. I go home to my dad, and I want you to bless me. And of course, my dad is very warm and fuzzy, and he growed up in a very coddly culture. And so his response is, what in the heck are you talking about? Okay. Now I go, Dad, this thing's in the Bible. Okay. I got his ear. And here's what I want to do. I'm going to get down on my knee and I want you to put your hand on my head. And I want you to, he goes, bless you. What are you talking about? Pray for you. I go, if that's where you start there. That's a good place. Just pray. Okay. I started adding this to weddings. And whenever bride and groom come stand up front, is to have the groom's dad come and bless him. I'm blessing you with the family blessing. And sometimes he's been to church, sometimes he hasn't. And sometimes he goes, my wife does that stuff and I'll come with her. And I go, okay, that's good, right? And so here come this big old coal miner, dirt under the fingernails, got calluses on his hand, big old boy, extra belly out front, and just in case I can't make it to Walmart. And he's standing there. Here's his dainty, beautiful little daughter. And mama, because he doesn't talk in public, he doesn't pray out loud, mama starts blessing the daughter. Guess what that big old boy will do? You have a Hakuna Matata moment. Is what'll happen is you'll see tears start coming down. And then when you talk to them afterwards, actually dad told mom a few things to say when you get up there. He don't want to say it. But what's actually happening biblically is the Lord has blessed somebody. Could somebody just agree with that? Anybody in the room ever been blessed? The Lord has blessed a dad, a mom. And now what they are saying, as the Lord has blessed me, I now bless your family or bless you as an individual. Okay? Now, there is a unique impartation, transference that happens when a father blesses his children according to Scripture. I would dare say that most of us in this room, if we've never heard of it, that's never happened for us, right? And I got a safety valve that's amazing. God's like a really good dad, and he just blesses apart from that. And I'm not saying that you will not enter the fullness of your life if you don't have a father's blessing. What I am saying is there is a special blessing from God that comes from a father's blessing. And what that causes right now, when I think about that, it causes a moment that's not necessarily a Kumamata moment. It is a moment of loss that I feel in my heart, and I know is across the congregation. Because I would have to say, my dad has passed, there's no way I can go to him. And somebody else would say, yeah, my dad passed, and they would go, I've been in this congregation for a minute, I have men that I've looked to that are father-like, and then you'd start to cry again, and you'd go, they passed too, right? And what happens when you start talking about these things, or you start looking at something like Father's Day, and you go, oh, my grandpa passed, my dad passed, for me, my stepfather passed. And when I think about Father's Day, then I start thinking, oh, but I'm a dad. I start thinking about my sons. And then I go, I had a son that passed. And so mixed with the blessing is the pain and sorrow and joy live inside the same moment. What happens in those moments, there's something in the Scripture that is the blessing that comes from God. It will be comfort for the pain and insight for the joy that causes both of them to combine to make a fulfillment that could not happen without them both. I'm going to let that sit just a minute. Anybody ever heard of that glue that has two parts? What's it called? No, it's called melt my fingers together is what it's called. And I know why they put two of them, because there are guys like me out there. And one of them, Darren uses it all the time. I just came to watch Darren work one time and my feet got stuck to the floor. No. It is. This one has a strength and this one has a strength, but they don't have multiple strength till you put them together. The Apostle Paul said it like this: I want to know Christ in the power of his resurrection. And then he said, and in the fellowship of his suffering. And here's what he said. I don't understand the fullness of blessing until I've walked through good and I've walked through bad and I put them together. And on the other end, they make a bond that is unbreakable. Now watch this. There's an old grizzly geezer that has walked through life. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. God blessed Abraham. Abraham said, because God blessed me, I am qualified to be a blesser. Anybody been blessed by God? You're a heaven deputized blesser just because God's blessed you. And Abraham said, because God's blessed me, he came to Isaac and he said, I bless you. And then Isaac had two kids. One of them was a rascal. Anybody remember that one? And he goes, I want that blessing Dad's got. I got a twin brother. And so he finagles, an old surplanter was his name, Jacob. And he finagles in, and he gets the blessing. Should have went to his older brother. And on that day, Isaac said, God blessed my dad. That's powerful. And my dad blessed me. I'm bigger than me. I am from a family that's blessed by God. Come on. And now Isaac blessed Jacob. And I promise you, whatsoever you sow in this earth, you will reap. God will not be mocked. And so old supplanter was supplanted. And Jacob had a son he loved. He had 10 of them, 11 of them. And he liked the last one better than the rest of them. Anybody, any first children in the room that know that babies have a significance in the heart of dad that nobody else has. And all the middle children go, yeah, he likes them and them, but then there's me stuck in the middle. But anyway, the baby has dad's love, but that baby is separated from dad. He leaves when he's a teenager. And when he's maybe late 30s, early 40s, dad and son are reunited. Son has a lot of wealth, Joseph, in Egypt, and he invites dad to come live with them. Dad comes to live with them, and then, as it would be, dad's dying. He's on his deathbed. By the time you get to Genesis, did I say 38? Is it 48? Yeah, I said 38, it's 48. But she's so smart, she knew that and gave me what pages like God, you ask the wrong request, but God will give you the right answer, okay? By the time you get to 48, this is the most important and the last thing that Jacob will ever do in his life. It brings you one of them Kumamata moments. In your heart, you go, this is so happy he gets to see his grandsons. And then you go, this is so sad he only saw them one time. It's true. And what he's going to say is, I loved you, Joseph, but I lost you. I never got to see you grow up. I never watched your years of growth. But now, I never thought I'd see you again. But now I see you. And not only do I see you, I see your sons. He calls for one of those runner people, and they go and they get Joseph and his two sons, and they bring them into his room. And we will find when we read the rest of the story that this is the last thing he will ever do in his life. The last thing you do is the important thing, isn't it? If I know I got an hour to live, what would you do? If I ask you that question and you really answered it, you would go, oh, this and this and this. And now you know those are the important things to you. And he goes, I have an important thing I want to do. This is very interesting because it's not in our culture. He goes, there is something that I have not done in my life. I want my sons to come to me. And he's going to bless all 12 of them. I want my sons to come to me, and I want to bless them. Because there is a power that is unique in a father's blessing. And what he'll say to Jacob, and it's so poetic and powerful, makes you tear up. What he says to Joseph is, Joseph, I love you double, and today you're going to lose your name. There is no Joseph in the 12 tribes of Israel. Did you ever notice that? But you will be a double portion because I will bless both of your sons, not just one you. And so throughout generations, and into eternity, you will have a double blessing forever by losing your name. There's something about that when we talk about the humility that Christ carries, that when I lay down my life for the sake of those behind me, it causes double blessing, the blessing that's in me and the blessing that's in them. Then he calls them and he blesses them, and I'll get to that in depth in a minute. I want to fly over it and then come back. And then he calls his other sons and he blesses them. And then the Bible says he dies. It's the last thing he does. When I went to my dad and I, okay, we're country, so we did it country. I'm going to get down. You're going to put your hand on my head, and you're going to bless me. It was rough and ugly and beautiful. He just kind of prayed over me. Since that time, I go, this was kind of rough. It's hard to reproduce with other people. It's important. Bless my heart. How could you do that where it's a little bit more reproducible? And so I use Jacob as a pattern. And give it, if you're a woman, it's okay for you to bless your kids too, and you can do this, it'll work. If you just want to bless your wife, it'll work. Maybe your neighbor, it'll work, okay? And here's the pattern that he uses. He goes through all of his kids. He gives them different blessings, but he uses the same pattern, okay? Here's the pattern. Number one is he goes, God has blessed me. Amen? And what he's showing is, God's blessed me, therefore I'm blessing you, is how the what I am giving you, I am resourcing, I'm not generating. Is God has blessed me, therefore I bless you. And so when he prays for his grandkids, what he will say is, God has provided for me all my life. And then he goes, and God has protected me all my life. And then he goes, God's favor on me has made me fruitful in everything I've done in my life. Anybody think Jacob might have had a character quality failure a little bit? Anybody that's read the Bible? You ever read about Jacob, kind of the liar trickster guy? And here's what he's going to say. Because it's coming from God, it is greater than who I am. Because there are times I wasn't faithful to God, but there was never a time, come on somebody, God wasn't faithful to me. And there are times that I did the right thing the wrong way that caused all kinds of pain and separation and trouble in my family. That's what he says. I did it wrong. But under the grace of God, he comes back He restores with his brother, and in his later years, he has good relationship with family. Yeah, and so what he says to his grandsons, and this is just so beautiful, you got to read it from the scripture. But what he says to his grandsons is, God has blessed me. Now I'm going to bless you. Okay. Now the first thing is God's blessed me. Here's the second thing. There is something unique about you that I see that I'm asking God to bless. So one, God has blessed me. Two, there is something that identifies you. It's individual. And he'll look at Issachar, and he'll say, "Son, you're strong as an ox. May the Lord," then he blesses him. He looks at Judah. He goes, "Judah, you are like a lion." And then he goes through three or four things. "I am blessing you like a lion." Then he goes to Dan. I like Dan, like our Dan. And at first you look at it and you go, "That wasn't a good blessing." And then he explains it. He goes, "Dan, you're like a snake." What the? "Dad, you're dying. Be nice." Right? No. And then he goes, "There was a rider that was on a horse. How could a snake ever conquer somebody on a horse?" And he goes, "But you bit the horse, caused the rider to be bucked off, and you overcame your enemy." And what he's saying is, you are crafty and you are wise. And then he blesses them. And here's the pattern. God has blessed me, I bless you. There is something that is individual in you that I see. Any moms or dads in the room? Unless you're a Downy, this will take all day. If you're not a Downy, okay. No, mom or dad in the room, if you think about one of your children and you go, "Oh, they're like this." With my sons, I can do it easily. I go, my first son, he's a very strategic thinker. Oh, God's blessed me. God's provided for me, and God has protected me. God has blessed the works of my hand. And you, you're a strategic thinker. May the Lord bless your mind. May the Lord, and then part three is, make you fruitful in the future. Huh? So if I want to bless my wife is the kindest person I know. I know a lot of people. You guys know her like this. I know her behind the scenes. She's kind. It's just her nature. If I were to bless her, what I could say is, the Lord has been kind to me. All the days of my life, even when I wasn't kind, God was kind to me. The Lord has blessed me. The Lord's provided for me, protected me. I bless you in your kindness. May your kindness open doors that nothing else can open. May the Lord cause your kindness to be fruitful and fulfilling all the days of your life. Is that a good pattern? Any dads in the room got a kid? Dads will catch that about noon, ladies. Just hold on. They'll catch it. They'll catch it. Huh? If you got a kid, you know your kid, right? And you go, here's an identifying thing. Now, here's what'll happen. Here's what'll happen. Then the Lord will jump in on the deal, and the Lord will give you insights into the people you're blessing. And some of them may look right in the natural. Some of them may not. And the Lord will say, here's a strength they have you don't see yet. Come on. And then I'm going to say, the Lord's blessed me, I bless you. Here's an identifying thing I see. May the Lord cause your future to be blessed by what you carry. Now, if you tell a dad that, who's already nervous, and he's going to get up and bless his daughter at a wedding, he can sit around the house a couple weeks before that. She told him 3 years before that when she was getting married. He doesn't even think about it till a week before. But he can sit there and he can go, my daughter is too good for this guy. She's too pretty for him. She's too smart for him, but I'm going to bless him anyway. No, no, she, that dad now can say, God has blessed me. Here's an identifying thing I see in my child. May the Lord give future. And when I'm giving family blessing, I look back and I go, God has blessed my family like this. I bless you to carry that heritage and that future in God. Does that make sense? Does that make, am I, as long as I'm clear on that, even if you don't think I am, go like this so we can get out of here before noon, okay? No, I want to be clear on that. I want you to see it. That is Genesis 49. It is him, Jacob, going through his children and blessing them according to A, God has blessed me. Here's the identifying feature about you. And may God give you future fruitfulness because of the favor he has put on your life. Does that make sense? All right. So at the end, we'll just bless dads. Lord, we bless them to be blessers, okay? But I just want to run through the picture. I want you to see one thing in this picture. I'm going to point to it. It is easy to pass over. You would read it, and you would go, I didn't see that. And then when you see it, you'll go, I can't see anything but that. Okay, I'm going to point to one point. Here we go. After this, Joseph was told, behold, your father is ill. So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. It was told to Jacob, your son Joseph has come to see you. Then Israel, that's Jacob, summoned his strength, sat up in the bed, and Jacob said to Joseph, now here's Jacob. Here's the God's been good to me. Watch this. God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and God blessed me. And he said to me, behold, I will make you fruitful. I will multiply you. I will make you a company of people and will give this land to your offspring after you for an everlasting possession. And now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to Egypt are mine. This is, you just got to understand the way the old guys thought 6,000 years ago. And here's what he's going to say. Your first two kids belong to me. All the rest of them you have, you can have. He goes, I'm taking over the first two. But do you know the Bible says there are walls in heaven that are named Manasseh and Ephraim? Sometimes it's better to give to God what you cannot control yourself in order that he can cause it to come to its highest good for his glory. So that's what he says to him. Even in Manasseh, and guys, in a minute you're going to see, he's got two little boys behind his knees. And can you imagine? They grew up in Egypt. They've heard of their grandpa. They have not even met him yet. They know he's a farmer from Kentucky. Basically, he's from the hill country, and he goes, the first two kids are mine. I can see each one of them grabbing a hold to a leg and say, I ain't going, Daddy, I ain't going. I don't want that old country man. I don't. Anyway, that's just my mind. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, just like Reuben and Simeon are. And the children after that, you father, you can have all them. They shall be called the name of your brother in here. Inheritance 7. As for me, when I came from Padam in my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan there. And here's what he's going to say. Your mama died. You were from your mama. I loved her. It broke my heart, but I had you. And so what I did was the love that I'd had from your mom, she died. It broke my heart. He goes, I poured that love into you. And then my heart got double broke because I lost you when you were a teenager. That's what he says. He goes, then when I was an old man, there was a knock on the door. I still was grieving. A generation later, they knocked on the door and they said, your son's alive. He said, I came here and I saw you. But I not only saw you, I saw my grandchildren. And now I'm alive. And just flip the next one. That was all that stuff right there. Now we're going to go to 14. Oh, no, go back to 13. I'm sorry. Yeah. 13. 12. You got to read 12. Then Joseph removed them from behind his knees. His kids are behind the knee holding. Any mom ever been to Walmart? The kids are behind the knee, and he pulls them out. Look at this. I never expected to see your face. I saw your kids. Then Joseph removes them from behind his knees. He bows down before his father with his face to the earth. And Joseph took the sons, Ephraim in his right hand, Manasseh in his left hand, and he put them in front of his father. Now here's what he knows. He's been in Egypt since he was a teenager. Remember, his brother sold him into slavery, but he knows the ways of his people. He has the oldest son at his dad's right hand, and he has the younger son at his dad's what? Left hand. And he sits them before dad, and he's bowed in the middle. Moves them from his knees. Jesus, he takes Ephraim, he takes Manasseh, brought them near, and Israel stretched out his right hand, watch this, laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the hand of Manasseh, crossing his hands because Manasseh was the firstborn. Now let's replay it. Joseph. Guys, Jacob has not got out of bed. He's on his deathbed. The Bible says he just set himself up on the bed. Joseph comes in. Two kids are behind him. He pulls them out. He sets them in front of his dad. The Bible says his dad's eyes have grown dim, King James Version. Dad's blind. He can barely see. Joseph sets the children where they're supposed to be. Now watch it. And dad crosses his hand. If you read it, Joseph grabs his dad's hands and tries to switch them back. Dad, I know you're old. This is an emotional moment and you're blind. But this is the firstborn. This is the nextborn. And dad, as old people will do when you try to correct them. Come on. Larry, you got a mom, don't you? Yeah, I got one too. She might be watching this. We're not going to say anything more about it. When you tell mom she's going to do something, and she done had you and raised you, and you tell her how she's going to do something like you think that she used to tell me, now I'm going to tell her, and all of a sudden the mom will come out, and she will just let you know that you ain't the boss of her. My grandpa died, and we were leaving the graveyard. And my grandmother's in the front. I'm in the back. My mom's in the back, and my mom's brother's in the back. My grandmother, she never even learned how to drive. She went to the sixth grade. My grandfather's taken care of her all of her life, and now he's gone. And we are in the car heading away from having buried Grandpa. And my uncle says, Mom, you ought to. And I go, no, Mom, you ought to. And she goes, let me tell all y'all, because she's from Kentucky, let me tell all y'all something right now. I've been bossed all of my life. She said, my dad bossed me. I left my dad's house to your grandpa. Your grandpa bossed, she was actually talking to me because grandpa had to tell you who. Your grandpa bossed me, and she said, and now I'm the boss. I'm going to do what I want, when I want, and none of you guys are telling. And she lived up to it for the next about 10 years. She did it the way she wanted to. Now, I'm making a point I ain't playing. He crossed his hand. His son came and uncrossed him. He said, you better quit. Crossed him again. This is the first time he ever seen these children. There's grandchildren. See, God blessed Abraham and his tribe. Every one of the two generations before that, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, into the fourth generation, guys, they had a mixed marriage. These are Egyptians. Somebody just married outside the family. Only the family can have the blessing. But he said, bring me them mixed babies right here, right now. And he is putting the blessing on Abraham on a non-Jew. And he crossed his hands. It is a sign. It is a prophetic symbol that God is putting the cross between the blessing of Abraham and non-Jews. And in Genesis chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, and the blessing of Abraham has been given to us by the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, everyone who never had an inheritance, who never was accepted, who never had an identity, and they didn't have a father to bless them, he goes, now, because of the cross, you can have anything that anybody ever had under the blessing of God by the cross of Christ. Come on. And even though you are not a Jew, just to chat people off, well, no, I won't be like that. I want you to know Egyptians are not Caucasian. Here is Joseph with these two babies that are receiving, come on, the blessing of Abraham forever. And Jesus is going to say it like this: preach the gospel to every kindred, tribe, nation, and tongue. Isn't that amazing? So how do I bless? How do I bless my children? Answer: God bless me. Here's an identifying mark in your life given you by God. Let me bless that and see that it has future fruitfulness. Isn't that good news? I think it's just like, anybody glad you're just born again? Anybody ever been to the cross? The blessing of God coming through his son that was on Abraham, now on all people, blessing you that you may bless others also. That's amazing. All right, you want to stand together? Let's have dad stand. Let's just have dad stand just for a moment. If you're a father, please stand. If you like that one and you want to bless them, just stand up and bless them. If you see one across the room that you like, go bless that one. We're going to take just a moment and just bless fathers, then we'll worship. Okay. Amen. Y'all are quiet. Good. Good. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Holy Spirit, we trust you and entrust our lives to you. We come to moments that are pregnant with joy and pain simultaneously. We want to navigate these moments by grace. There are men that stand before you right now that are the blessers of children. And you've blessed us. We pray you'd magnify that blessing. You'd multiply it. You use this word in Greek in the Bible of increase. You would cause it to increase. You'd cause it to be multiplied. You'd cause it to be exponentially extended. Would you exponentially extend your grace over those men that are standing? Father, as we touch them, we pray your blessing over them, their children, and their children's children. Father, every blessing that you've written in the Bible over Abraham, you have said that through the cross, you extend it to the generations and to the nations, no longer limited to an ethnic group. Now you've put people in our house, the specific graces that came from you. We ask that you would multiply those, you would magnify those, that you would use them for their good and for the good of others also. May you supernaturally release your anointing over us for the sake of our children and our children's children. We make our prayer in the power of the mighty name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you can remain standing, and women, join your men, and we will worship together. Molly and I will be standing down front. If you have need of prayer, we'd love to pray with you.